numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Friday morning, downtown Las Vegas, a numbers game powered by our friends over at Zyn Nicotine. I'm Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander today. Kelly Bidlin with us as well. And joining us now from the very prestigious Homewood Suites up in Saratoga. We were having some hotel analysis before he came on here. But Chris Felica of Fox Sports, of course, host of the Bear Bets podcast, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. So those the Homewood Suites, that is the elite level status for you. Top tier hotel power rating right there.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at like that courtyard by Marriott Courtyard, Homewood Suites, Hampton Inn, window like at that level, yeah, the fact that you get the kitchenette, you get the couch in the separate living area, yeah, I think that would certainly get the power rating at the top of this hotel level. Now, if you want to go up to the JW Marriott level and the Westin and Ritz and the Quattro Seasons, now that's a different story. But for a good, just standard, solid, you know what you're going to get, and you're going to get a good sleep, and you can bring some stuff back to the room and throw it in the fridge. Hard to top the Homewood Suites.
Yeah, this is the high level analysis you come for here on a numbers game. Hard hitting stuff.
I wanted to know what, like, of the years of Chris covering college football games going all over the country, you know, which, like, does he have a favorite in, like, you know, Stillwater,
certain
Oklahoma
town,
or something like
you
that?
You stumped him.
No. No, there's nothing favorite about Stillwater. Actually, I gotta take that back. We actually, one year we were fortunate enough when we got to stay at the Golf Lodge on Oklahoma State Golf Course.
Oh,
the Golf Lodge,
that's fancy.
Everything. That place was awesome.
See, this is what I'm looking for.
Unbelievable.
Insider stuff.
We could do an hour.
Could do an hour on college towns. I know in State College, if you want to go to the Nittany Lion Inn, to me, that is like the, you know, that's the top tier creme de la creme. But again, we'll digress. We'll get some thoughts on college football coming up at the end here. But we definitely want to get into Belmont. It's a unique year. It could be unique for multiple years because you move the location to Saratoga, shorter track. It changes everything, right? You go from a mile and a half right to now a mile and a quarter. It changes the entire tenor of the race. Sierra Leone's the favorite. You'll have Mystic Dan in there. Handicap the field for me. Is there any value here as we get close to the race tomorrow?
I really have a hard time seeing someone other than Sierra Leone or Mindframe win the race. We just don't know how good Mindframe is. He's only raced twice. He's had two open length wins, but at the same time, going from a maiden special at Gulfstream and an optional allowance at Churchill on Derby Day into facing Sierra Leone, the Derby winner and the Preakness winner, that's a bit of a step up in class. We just don't know how good he is or isn't right now. I think he's the only horse that possesses the upside to beat Sierra Leone. I mean, we've heard it with Sierra Leone. I thought he was the best three-year-old going into the Derby. He had a brutal trip. He probably would have won the race if he didn't lug in, or maybe Tyler Gaffalione had the stick in the different hand, or they would have made the change to the bit, a different bit like they did for this race. But I think if you add up Sierra Leone getting a shorter field, which will be less distance, less traffic, he's going to get an honest pace in the race with Dornick and a couple of others. You get the home field advantage now with Chad Brown in his own backyard. You got the equipment change. You got the rider change. It's basically put up or shut up here. I think if he doesn't win Saturday, I would be pretty surprised. If you were looking for maybe a price horse to put underneath in your exacta and maybe hit the board, I would take a look at the number two horse, Resilience, at 10-1 in the morning line. Belmont wasn't necessarily planning on running him in the race. He wasn't sure about the mile and a quarter. But at the same time, he was right there in the Derby after breaking from post 18, I think it was. And he just flattened out in the stretch because he had a wide trip. The horse has kind of grown up and matured since adding blinkers right before the wood. He won that race, ran really well in the Derby. He might be a little bit more forwardly placed in this race as well. So if you're looking, basically, in order to make money in the race, you're going to need to break up Mindframe and Sierra Leone. If it runs 9-10 or 10-9, unless that's the only bet you're making in the race and you're just going to hammer a cold exacta 9-10, 10-9, it's going to be hard to make money unless you can get Resilience or another horse in there to kind of separate the 9 and the 10 in the trifecta or in the exacta.
Chris Felica, Fox Sports host of the Bear Bets podcast. In fact, I'm on his page right now on foxsports.com checking out his picks for the Belmont Stakes, which will be taking place at Saratoga this year. He listed out the exacta that he just mentioned on the air. Great stuff, of course, for a lot of the novice horse bettors like myself. I bet on usually three races a year. It's a different sport to bet on than you know, picking a winner, you know, in the Celtics-Mavericks game last night. So you did a great job laying it out. And, of course, understanding what you're betting is usually half the battle. All right, speaking of the battle, we got news yesterday. I think it was either yesterday or earlier this week about the college football playoff schedule. And I'll be honest, Chris, to me, any argument against expansion died the moment that schedule came out, because my counter every single time someone tries to argue against expansion: did you look at this schedule? 8 games. It's like March Madness for football. 8 games in that 10-day stretch Christmas week, and then of course the semifinals and the championship, which is the more traditional that we've experienced over the last few years. But this schedule, pun intended, is an absolute bear.
Yeah, they're two. You can have like two separate thoughts and hold them concurrently in your head at the same time. You can say that expanding the playoff hurts the regular season. You can say expanding the playoff really doesn't increase the number of teams that legitimately can win the national title. But at the same time, you can't sit here and argue that more football is bad.
Yep.
More marquee games in a playoff type setting. I'm going to watch, you're going to watch, Kelly's going to watch, we're all going to bet them, but we're all going to be fully invested in them. So, yeah, I think in getting weeks of football in between, like the Army-Navy game, and once you get the conference championship game, getting those through Christmas and New Year's, and then finally you get the break right before the title game, when I think on the 20th it is. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But like I said, does it mean that more teams other than, say, Georgia, Ohio State, and then maybe Texas or Oregon could ultimately win the national title? Probably not. But at the same time, getting maybe an LSU in the playoff, or a Michigan in the playoff, or an Ole Miss in the playoff, or
Penn State. Someone else. As an alum, I'm praying that we get in one of these years, Chris.
Dude, what's going on? I couldn't believe when I was looking at the preseason Heisman odds and like odds to be picked in the number one pick in the draft next year. What are people like seeing with Drew Allard?
No idea. I don't think we're seeing. I think what they're seeing is the program that he plays for is going to have a lot of high profile games. I'm not like the quarterback guru, but when I watched him play last year, I saw someone who was a little bit timid in the moment, and they didn't ask him to do a whole lot. And that's not going to fly in the Big Ten. That's certainly not going to fly in the Big Ten now that you got, you know, offensive teams like USC and all these great, you know, spread it out type teams like Oregon coming in. But it'll be an interesting dynamic. I think you made a great point, too, because when you don't have the win equity maybe of a team in that lesser tier that can win the championship, but we see a lot of this in college basketball. FAU is a great example. San Diego State's a great example last year. The run themselves to get into the Final Four and the championship game, to me, is kind of the pureness of college sports. And I think that's what makes this tournament and this format a little bit more unique compared to what we've seen in prior iterations.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Maybe you get one of the a Boise, whoever your non-power four, I guess I should say now, a conference team that gets in there. I mean, maybe they do wind up pulling an upset as well. And who knows? The Big 12 is such a balanced conference. Whoever gets in there, maybe they win a game and create a little excitement. Say, it's look, I liked it at four. I thought it should be hard to get in. But like, I'm not going to sit here and complain about having football.
Yeah, I think more football, right? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. I think more football, good for all of us, and that is going to be that 10-day stretch right there between the 20th and New Year's. I mean, it always is good with the bowl games, but now you get that initial kick with those those first round games right out of the gate, makes that bowl season just that much more intense. All right, Bear, before we let you go, a big month, couple months coming up for footy. We got the Euro, we got Copa. I'll give you the floor here because I'm like a duck in the water. I have no idea. I'm just trying to search for some nibbles here with the soccer. But what are you looking for with the international competitions coming up this summer?
Yeah, we got Euro starting a week from today, and then we got Copa starting on the 20th. And I made some bets this week where the first bet I made was the Netherlands to make the quarterfinal at around plus 135 is what I found them at. If you look at where they're probably going to finish second in their group behind France, and that's going to get them a pretty favorable draw. Once you look at the knockout round, they're going to get like a second type place type team in the round of 16. And then the quarterfinal is probably ultimately where they'll get knocked out. But the Netherlands to reach the quarterfinal plus 135 was something I looked at. And then I played England at plus 170 to reach the final and France at plus 190 to reach the final. They're probably both going to win their groups, which means that is the most likely semifinal matchup on the bottom half of the draw. Something would have to go very wrong for France or England not to reach the final. So again, you're getting plus money on both. As long as one of them do make the final, you're in a good spot there. So you can get a nice little scalp, little arb there potentially. And then in Copa, I played Argentina to win at plus 175. They're going to be on the easier side of the draw and likely avoid Brazil and Uruguay until the final. So they're the best team. They're deep up front, even beyond Messi. I think Argentina should be in the final, and then you're going to be in a position, depending on who they play, either just let it ride or take the underdog for a little bit to guarantee yourself a profit.
Great stuff. Chris Felica, Fox Sports, host of the Bear Bets podcast. Enjoy Saratoga. Enjoy your Homewood Suites, and enjoy that kitchenette, pal.
I will. The rain looks like it's folding off tomorrow, so it's going to be a great weekend.
Love it. Great stuff. Could not ask for a better segment covering multiple sports with our pal, Chris the Bear Felica. All right, on the other side, we will wrap up a little college football talk, and we'll get into some baseball awards markets to wrap up this Friday show. Down the stretch, they come here on A Numbers Game. This is Beeson.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Well, from grown-worthy dad jokes to patching up skin knees, your dad is one of a kind. This Father's Day, give him a gift that's guaranteed to take him to his happy place, Omaha Steaks. Package to start $99. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use the promo code VSiN. Check out to get $10 off your order. Show your dad the love he deserves with a gift as unforgettable as he is. Visit omahasteaks.com. Use the promo code VSiN. I gave our pal Stormy Bonatoni some little shade yesterday of her dad jokes. Dad jokes are even worse. I'm Mr. Corny. If you've been with me for 2 days now, you probably already know, but that's pretty much my entire life in my head. I'm terrible with dad jokes.
Would you like the milk in a bag?
No, I would prefer it in the carton, please.
I laugh too hard at that.
But, like, that's the thing, and that's why I love Stormy. That's why I love everyone who works in this space that understands that we're all corny. But most of us are just afraid to show it because we're not comfortable and confident enough with ourselves to be ourselves. Stormy's not one of those people. I'm not one of those people. Kelly, Dustin, like, again, the people that the big personalities that you see on this network, the reason that they are personalities, think of the word that I just used, personality. Unfortunately, most people are corny. Not everyone can be as funny as, like, Chris Rock or have the timing right of Kevin Hart. Most of us are awkward individuals. We just have to lean into it. Not awkward during that segment. Fantastic stuff from our pal Chris, the Bear Felica. Again, we were talking off-air. I didn't want to bring this up on the air because I'm not trying to be, like, Mr. Fanboy, but I grew up – not really grew up, but more late 20s, you know, when I really started to get into the gambling thing for real. They were one of the first podcasts, him and Stanford C, that I really listened to. Our friends that actually work for us now, the Sports Gambling Podcast, another one that I caught on to later on in life, Todd Furman and Payne on Bet the Board. Again, these are like formative gambling podcasts that helped me formulate my personality, my gambling thoughts, the way that I view the markets, the way that I handicap the process. You pull all of these different things and strands from other smart people that you respect and look up to, and then you eventually formulate your own personality on the air. You find your voice, you find your brand. But that was a thrill for me because I'd never talked to the first time we ever had talked for. You booked two great guests, Stormy yesterday and Chris today, two on-air debuts for me, bucket list checks.
Good. Well, I'm glad we got that done for you. But, you know, Chris is awesome.
It's all for me.
And he's nice enough to do this almost every single week with us. And, yeah, I mean, from our work.
We're in the same age groups.
Like,
I'm sure you're in the same way.
I mean, that sort of way, and what those guys did with their careers, right? I mean, when you're talking about Chris
Paved Felica, the way for us.
Chris Felica and Stanford Steve, like what those guys did both behind the scenes and on the air is a lot
They made gambling cool for the mainstream.
Yeah, well, I'm even just talking back in just regular sports days.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Like, just their regular job.
Yeah, just their regular jobs. Like, it's very – I'm mirroring that path quite a lot with my own career. So those are guys that I have always looked up to.
For sure.
Yeah, I think this industry has a funny way of – being very negative towards people that are up and coming. I mean, look what's happening to Caitlin Clark right now. It's hard when you're trying,
Jared. Me and Caitlin Clark.
Exactly the same.
We get compared all the time. We're very similar people.
It's a joke. He's joking, but he's more comparable than you think because, and I'm not saying that the athletic prowess is the same, but when it neither with me either, frankly. But when it comes to you're having success in your industry and you are trying to climb the ladder, there are always people ahead of you. How those people treat you is a very clear indicator of their class, their personality, whatever words you want
what
to use to describe.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
What they are at their core. Chris Felica is a guy that does not have to come on this show every week and do this, but he does because he respects you, he respects Gil, he enjoys doing it, he loves what he does.
Yeah.
And he helps you because you get to talk to him, you get to pick his brain.
Yep.
He gets to
100%.
Be a bit of a mentor to you, even though in his mind he's just doing a guest segment, but it means more to us than it does to him. And when the way you treat people lower than you on the food chain is to me how you measure someone as a human being.
I completely agree. I was lucky to have a lot of great mentors coming up my
same
working wise, and it's if you don't for myself it's you know spitting on what they've given me if you don't pass it down, right? So that's what we try to do.
Yeah, and on the flip side, I've had a lot of people on higher on the food chain basically try to stamp me down to make sure I don't get up to where them. It goes both ways. Again, everyone in life is a lesson. Speaking of lessons, let's piggyback a little bit off of what Chris just said, because he used a couple buzzwords for me during the college football portion of our discussion. I'm not gonna analyze his soccer stuff. Go bet whatever he said. Netherlands to make the quarterfinal sounds great in the Euro. I have no idea what I'm talking
excited. About.
I'm
excited. We'll have Paul Carr on next week.
We'll get some Paul Carr thoughts deeper
into that. But I'll be honest. I can handle World Cup, Champions League, Premier League just fine.
Euro's pretty cool, too.
It's really
I got
cool.
Smoked in the Euro in 2020, but it's
dates.
Really fun.
I get tripped up on dates,
no,
right?
It's so, always happened.
So last
something
week
happened.
Was the first time I literally had to text Paul, and I'm like, hey, just let me know what the next time you need to come on, because I'm really messed up with this calendar.
Soccer calendar is like, it doesn't end.
It doesn't end.
It's almost like the football news cycle. It's just 24/7, 365. But besides the horse racing insight, which again was fantastic, you can go to Chris's site, foxsports.com. He has an entire article posted with his picks. Mike Somich has his picks for Belmont. I saw Adam Burke with a great story as well on VSiN.com talking about the Acorn Stakes, which are happening in a few hours. There's maybe some value there as well. So lots of horse racing stuff. But the college football portion of our discussion I thought was intriguing because he mentioned a few teams. Ole Miss, Oregon, teams that are kind of, I would say, on the cusp, right? And I know Oregon might take a step back because you lose Bo Nix. You'll get Jackson Dart back for Ole Miss. But, you know, Oregon gets Dylan Gabriel in Bo Nix's stead. I think that's, you know, I don't want to say apples to apples, but I'd say that's a pretty even comparison. I would say Oregon won't drop off too much with Dylan Gabriel if he stays healthy. That has been the problem with Gabriel over the years. But my point being, the college football futures market is changing now. Before, you really only had a stone's throw that the top maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 teams are even going to make the playoff. Now the field expands. And I think we use the word win equity a lot. Maybe the win equity of Oregon or Ole Miss or LSU, one of these teams that is not the top, isn't as high as an Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State, Texas, etc. But if you're in the dance, you're on the dance floor, you're on the bus, as Herm Edwards say, we're on the bus, it opens up opportunities, and now you get 16 teams, which means more teams make the field. So while the college football futures market, to me, you're trying to find the needle in a haystack TCU 100-1 that makes the playoff, very hard to do. Now I think there's more opportunity. I'll call it fertile landscape for a team like a Notre Dame or a Michigan or Florida State down there at the bottom of the board, 25-1, just to be in the field. And that allows flexibility later on in the quarterfinal, semifinal rounds if they're able to make it that far.
Yeah. Man, I hope you're right.
Me too. But we'll see.
Because I mean, you're a much bigger college football guy than I am. And I just keep going back to, like, am I going to watch, like, get excited for an LSU-Alabama game on October 27th or whatever? And it just feels like after I watch a great game, feels like it's not going to really matter in the long run because both these teams are going to be there. But, you know, at the same, the other side of that coin, Jared, it's well, I don't watch that much college football on Saturdays. So when we hit the holidays, like you're talking about, you get this amazing stretch where you can lock in. And I don't know. I hate it when people bring up from an NBA perspective where they're like, oh, the regular season doesn't matter. Like, the playoffs are here, right? And it's like, is that what college football is about to turn into? I don't know if that's good or bad for the sport. I really don't.
I don't think it's to that extent.
Okay.
Because there's still only 12 games, whereas the NBA, there's 82. So each game does have more of a sense of urgency. I agree. If Alabama plays LSU in, let's say, mid-late October, both teams are 7-8-0. You're right. The loser of that game probably still gets into the playoff, but the loser of that game might also be the 15 seed have to face the toughest opponent in the first round and not get the advantage of an early draw. And I think there's home sites as well. Don't you think those teams want to play for the home, right?
Yeah,
so I think
there's
nuance there. I don't think it's as cut and dry as, well, now teams aren't going to care in the regular season. Maybe maybe you care a little bit less at the end of a game that you're losing and you don't go all out for. But I still think Alabama and LSU, you're still going to care.
Yeah.
Like,
the other
7-0 Alabama, 7-0 LSU on Halloween night, I think that game still matters.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think the other thing that Chris brought up that just it's funny how many new formats we've seen with sports over the recent years, it feels like. The one thing that holds true for every better out there, which is our entire audience, what Chris said there when we talked to him, more games is always better.
That's why the argument against expansion doesn't.
Right.
Like, if it's almost like a scale, right? And you're weighing, okay, expansion, the bad, right? So you're doing a pros and cons list. The cons for expansion is obviously a diluted field. Regular season means less.
Right.
The pro for expansion, did you see the schedule? To me, that's weighted higher.
Yeah, yeah. Bigger spotlight games, right? More spotlight games.
Yeah.
So I just think back to the NBA. In-season tournament, play-in.
In-season tournament was a great example. I thought it was fantastic.
I don't hear anybody complaining about those anymore when they were complaining about
They complain at the beginning because people don't like change. I was one of these people that I hated change, and then the change would happen. I'd be like, oh, that's not so bad. Embrace change, people. That's the only way you grow is if you leave your comfort zone. We will leave our comfort zone in the baseball futures market next. Numbers Game, Beeson.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Act now, save big, limited time, annual subscription VSiN Pro. It's an unbeatable price. Normally $240 a year. You can now subscribe for just $199. We'll throw in an extra month free. 13 months of VSiN Pro access, less than 50 cents a day. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets, real-time betting splits, exclusive systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video content. Don't miss this incredible offer. VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Use the promo code ANG. Claim your discount and bonus month. That's a special deal which will not last long. VSiN.com/subscribe today. Use the promo code ANG, which stands for A Numbers Game. Gil Alexander off until Monday. I am Jared Smith, steering the ship with my trusty co-pilot here, Kelly Bidlin, doing his usual producing routine. A fantastic show for us so far. Really enjoyed talking to Chris Felica, of course. That was a thrill for me personally, but professionally, he gave some incredible advice about the Belmont Stakes taking place at Saratoga this weekend. Also some Euro and some Copa soccer advice. And we had a brief discussion about the college football playoff. If you want to go back and relive that segment, I believe there's a podcast that'll come up at some point today, right?
Yep.
Yep. Check out the podcast. I'm sure we'll tweet it out. I'll have some video and all that fun stuff for it as well. And then, of course, Lou Finocchiaro, we had him in our first hour talking NHL, Stanley Cup Final, which starts tomorrow. Very busy weekend for Lou's sports gauntlet college baseball, UFC, all of that stuff, of course, will be on the podcast, which will be up shortly after the show concludes. But let's pivot to baseball. We gave you a little baseball a little earlier in the show. I'm kind of lukewarm on the Marlins, Guardians, nerfy tonight, although the price move overnight is making that bet less valuable. If you can find minus 120, which is currently available at DraftKings, I think it is I'll call it a fair wager to make if you want some baseball action tonight. But we had action last night. And I'll be honest, sometimes I feel like I can speak things into existence. I have so much power on this microphone that we can do a segment on the American League MVP straw poll and talk about how great Juan Soto looks and the difficulty in choosing between the two-star Yankees, Soto and Judge. And the only thing that could derail one of them from having an MVP season is an injury. And guess who left the game with a forearm injury of some kind last night? We'll call it an upper body injury for the hockey fans out there.
I don't know. Have you seen any more details? Because
no.
One thing that I kind of had that game on TV number two last night. And
let's
one thing
check
that,
if anything happened last
one
night.
One thing that was very apparent was there was a weather delay.
And Juan Soto didn't return after the weather
delay. Okay, so that's what I was wondering when the timing of it occurred. Because that's maybe it's not as bad. Maybe it just kind of cramped up and felt tight during the delay, and he didn't want to go back out there.
That is the best case scenario.
Best case scenario. Odd shift right now, because we did talk
there
about
was an
this
odd
yesterday.
Shift.
Aaron Judge down to plus 181, Soto out to plus 235. So what, that moved like 20 cents, 15 cents, something like that?
Yeah, and I think the uncertainty there, I would say that move is half-baked. If we get news today that Soto going to the IL, that number drops more. How I would react to this from a betting standpoint is do nothing, because you are not the Yankees orthopedic surgeon or whoever's looking at the Yankees, looking at Soto today from a medical standpoint. When we are betting the awards markets, that factor, frankly, when you're betting anything, even if it's a one-game roll of the dice, one-inning roll of the dice, that happened with Kenta Maeda the other day, two pitches into the game, he left, and all of a sudden the Yerfie got thrown to a loop. But injuries is the one thing you cannot predict. Mm-hmm. So I don't waste my headspace trying to predict them. Now, you can say that certain guys are injury-prone. That's not Juan Soto. He's played every game this year. So it's one of those things where if it happens, you bet Soto. Like, I bet Tucker last week he got hurt. What am I going to do? Like, obviously, if I knew that he was going to, foul a ball off his shin and miss two games, I wouldn't have bet him the week before. I would have waited until after. But you cannot predict injuries.
Now, okay, question on that, because I thought this was an interesting discussion we had probably 3 weeks ago, a month ago on the show, and it was completely agree with you, especially when we talk MVP. Do you feel any different about Cy Young just because of how many injuries we saw to star pitchers at the beginning of the year? The conversation we were having was, is it now we've hit the day and age with these injuries with these pitchers in their arms that you should be maybe waiting a little bit before you jump into this market betting wise?
Well, it's impossible to time the injuries, unfortunately.
Right.
I agree with your sentiment that there are more pitcher injuries than two hitter injuries. That's just natural these days. And I think the other part of that is teams are more careful with pitchers. So Jones,
you're not going to rush them back.
Jones and Skeens are perfect examples. You're getting great value on Skeens to win Rookie of the Year. The Pirates in mid-August could say, screw this, we're 20 games out. Why are we extending this kid and making him throw over 100 innings? We need him to throw 150 next year when we're in the race. And the Pirates have been more conservative with how they handle pitchers than other teams. Look at how they handle Gerrit Cole. But I think to your original point, no. I am not changing my strategy on betting the futures market based off injuries.
Okay.
Here's what I am doing. I'm betting less. I'm not going to not bet on someone because he might get hurt. I'm just going to avoid those markets completely, where I would prefer in the futures markets to swim in more team waters. But sometimes bets just smack you right in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Jose Ramirez bet that Dustin Swedelson was hot on a couple weeks ago is going to be a fantastic wager at the end of the day. Is it going to win? Maybe. But it ain't going to close 25-1 in September if the Guardians win the division and he's leading the league in RBIs. It's probably going to be closer to a coin flip with whichever one of these Yankees ends up at the end of the rainbow here. Now, again, Jose Ramirez could get hurt. Can't predict that. I can't look you straight in the eyes and say, don't bet on this player because he's going to get hurt. That would be disingenuous of me to say. I think this futures market in baseball this year is very intriguing. I think we have more information from the voters than we've ever had. We are now getting monthly updates from pollsters, and the polls could be unreliable, just like in politics, but at least you have, I always use the lighthouse analogy. It's dark, you're, you know, a captain of a ship, and you're trying to find land. If the lighthouse turns on, you're not there yet, but at least you know what direction to go in. And that's where I think we are now in the baseball futures market. Based off of the two polls that we have, the data that we have, knowing what we know about the numbers and the analytics, I know what direction to look in. Am I firing on every player that's in that direction? No. But I know that in the MVP in the American League, Kyle Tucker's getting a lot of votes. More votes than he got last time. The injury doesn't help, but that's a direction that we should be looking in. I bet in the next straw poll in June, I bet Jose Ramirez has more votes than he had, which was zero in the last one. Now, if that's true, and we do get a straw poll with big Jose Ramirez, you know, exposure in early, mid-June, I'm going to be betting more Ramirez, probably at 20, 15 to 1, and just kind of play that number down as it keeps going down. The Cy Young in the American League side, Scooble's the guy. Do you want to bet that now plus 150? No, but he's the guy. Okay. Barring injury, he's going to win this award, I think. Barring some kind of setback where he just completely falls off the map, Burns' numbers to start the year were not as good. Baltimore's not going to win the division. Tanner Houck, good. He almost pitched a no-hitter last night, but he's not at that level. Actually, Logan Gilbert's a guy at 25-1. If Seattle wins that division, I think I would look at, because that's a guy that has that A-plus stuff, but he also is going to split votes with Castillo, who is the more noteworthy pitcher in that rotation. That rotation's unbelievable, by the way. Brian Wu, you've probably never heard of, pitched yesterday. I mean, Seattle's got three aces right there with Castillo, Gilbert, and Wu. The other guys on that list, I would call them middling. And I'm not, it's not a knock on Cole Reagans or Seth Lugo, but they they play for the Royals. Like, you're not going to get a lot of attention if you're not doing what Tarik Skubal is doing, which is just blowing the world up in his pitching numbers. Like, Skubal's numbers are off the charts right now compared to every other guy on that list. I think,
to your point real quick, I was just going to say, too, like, you look at the names on this graphic.
A lot of world beaters on this list.
Well, like, 2 years ago, could you even get odds on some of these guys? You know what I mean? Where were they at? I mean, Corbin Burns, obviously.
Corbin Burns was a different league.
That's a recognizable name. But
he was in a different league.
Right,
he was in the National
League. Some of these other guys, you don't even know.
Corbin Burns would be interesting because I don't remember the last time both leagues have won the Cy Young. I want to say it happened. I want to say Fred Lynn. I could be wrong, though. He could be a hitter.
Efforting?
Yeah. I'm actually curious. Won the Cy Young in both. It's definitely happened. You know who might have done it? Hold on a minute.
The one guy I was actually thinking of.
Fred Lynn's a hitter. I was way off with that.
Roger Clemens.
That's right. With the Astros, right?
Yeah.
And then with the Blue Jays. Or with the Red Sox. And that was when the Astros were in the National League. I think.
I think there's a lot of answers to this. Hold on. I'll have to get back to you on this one.
That's an interesting one.
There are
I don't think
answers.
Corbin Burns is going to win the Cy Young this year, but he would join a list of very prestigious pitchers that have won it in both leagues. I think on the American side, it's Skubal. National League side is interesting. We'll come back, talk about the National League Cy Young and Rookie of the Year on the other side. We'll wrap up Numbers Game here on VSiN.
The Sports Betting Network.
We are so close to crowning an NBA champion, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code VSIN. That's code VSIN for new customers. Get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. All right, final segment here on a Friday. It has been a fun numbers game journey with you. Myself, Jared Smith, in for Gil Alexander today. Kelly Bidlin with us, of course, as well, live in downtown Las Vegas. Let's wrap up the show with a little more baseball futures talk, because I want to move the conversation to the National League, the senior circuit. But before we do, we got some answers to our trivia extravaganza during the break. The reason why Fred Lynn was hot on my mind is because Shota Imanaga, who we'll talk about in a moment in the National League, is doing something that not a lot of people have ever done, which is perhaps win the Cy Young and Rookie of the Year in the same year. Fernando Valenzuela, one of, I think, the only one to ever do it. There might have been one other player that has done that. But
come on, Jerry, we just had a break, man.
But Fred Lynn, all right, well, forget that I even said that. But Fred Lynn is on my mind because he is the only person to win Rookie of the Year and MVP in the same year. He's not a pitcher. I'm sorry for even mentioning him in that same breath as Cy Young. Man. But that is why Fred Lynn was top of mind. But speaking of
Valenzuela, the only one.
Valenzuela, the only player to ever win Rookie and Cy in the same year. And it's ironic that it's the National League with the Dodgers. It's ironic that we get a National League pitcher trying to do it again with Shota Imanaga. But I'll be honest, if you've watched Imanaga the last two starts, I think underwhelming is the word I would use. Now, it hasn't impacted the market a whole lot just yet. Wheeler was the favorite to win Cy Young. He's still the favorite. Imanaga's still the second favorite, despite the fact that Imanaga's had two, I'll call them, clunkers. The Rookie of the Year is still Imanaga, as I would call it a pretty substantial favorite, but the gap is shortening with Skeens now in the rearview mirror. He was a $4 underdog before his last start against the Dodgers. Now Skeens a $2 underdog, but I would still say Imanaga the favorite at plus 115, saying it's about a 45% chance he's going to win the award, where Skeens is more in the 30-35% range. I do think the name that I would really look to is a guy who pitches tonight in the Bronx, and that's Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Two reasons why I think this guy is a good bet. So I bet him plus 650 earlier this week. I bet him before the Skeens start, hoping the Dodgers would get to Skeens. I wasn't really right on that prediction, and the odds shortened on Skeens. The Imanaga fade, to me, is becoming more pronounced by the day. And it doesn't mean that this guy is going to suck down the stretch, but for him to pitch to a sub-2 ERA for the entire season is bonkers. He doesn't have that kind of stuff. He has, I would call it, average stuff with elite location. And he has an elite brain when it comes to pitching. He's not a thrower, he's a pitcher. But he's now made, 12, 13 starts? The book is out. This is a guy that I think doesn't have the kind of stuff that Yamamoto has, which is just a little bit more, I'll say, variety when he's pitching. His fastball is harder. He'll throw 96. Imanaga's more in the 92-93 range. Obviously, Paul Skeens is like Superman. But the reasons against Imanaga and the reasons against Skeens, I think, are pronounced enough for me to view the three pitchers at the top of that list as a little more equal than what the odds are saying. I think Imanaga has pitched over his skis the first month. He's come back to earth the last couple of weeks. Paul Skeens is like a shooting star. He's going to burn hot. He's going to burn fast. But I don't think he's going to burn for the duration. Whereas Yamamoto, he went to the first game of the year. He struggled in that game. He's come back since and has pitched very well. His numbers are better than Skeens in terms of wins above replacement, but he is significantly beneath Paul Skeens in the Rookie of the Year odds board. I think Yamamoto and Skeens should be closer to even. And not even odds, but even in terms of their standing.
Right, yeah.
And I think Imanaga deserves to be the favorite, but I think he's gotten, again, over his skis to where you will see, if he keeps pitching like this, he's going to really drop. But even if he's average and Yamamoto's above average, I think the gap between Imanaga and Yamamoto should be much tighter. And I think Skeens, I don't think he has as much win equity in this market as we think, because I don't think he's going to pitch the full season.
Yeah, I can only chuckle when we talk about this, because I think it was Jason Weingarten last week or on Wednesday who said this, where it feels like everybody's trying to get out in front of betting against Skeens and fade him, because he's just, like you said,
a shooting star.
He's shooting star. And he's kind of
fast.
I think a lot of people are kind of assuming he's at the top, right? But Jason kind of put it this way.
Or
he's just really all that good and we're all going to be wrong at the end.
He is going to be really good, but that doesn't mean he's going to win Rookie of the Year. Again, this is why the awards markets are so baffling for the average public Joe bettor. It's easy to have an opinion on a game, to watch the game, and to have it play out in the way that you thought that game was going to play out. It's not like after the game is over, they're going to the booth for three random judges to grade who wins the game.
Right.
That is how awards markets work.
That'd be awesome.
Like figure skating.
Yeah, it's like gymnastics.
When I was in college, I took a class at Penn State called The Introduction to Sports Media, and they had us write dissertations, thesis papers at the end of the year. And my topic was, what is a sport? And my conclusion was, if the sport is decided by the people on the field, it is considered a sport. Baseball, a sport. You could argue that the umpires have a lot of influence. All right, that makes it less of a sport.
Mm.
The end conclusion was the purest sport is a marathon. It's I'm going to beat or like a shot put.
I've always said if you can comfortably drink beer during it, it's not a sport.
But my point being, the definition of a true sport in the purest form of the word is something that is decided purely by the competitors that are competing in that whatever competition. Awards markets are weird. The people competing do not have any say in who wins. All they do is compete. And then the judges in the booth, in this case the voters, are the ones that have the final say, which is why you, as a viewer and a bettor, have to remove your bias from the equation. Is Paul Skeens going to be the best thing since sliced bread at the end of the day? He might. But he also might pitch 70 innings this year and might be shut down by August 30th. How will the voters respond to that? That is the question you have to ask yourself. Not if you think Paul Skeens is the best rookie
pitcher
in baseball.
Doesn't matter, yep. We talk
irrelevant.
About it all the time. It's irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
Your handicap... Erroneous.
Erroneous on all counts. Erroneous.
Yeah, you're handicapping what you think the voters are thinking. And it is.
That is the only thing that matters.
It's very tough because we spend a lot of time on this show. We spend a lot of time on this network. When it comes to betting, it is hard for you not to have your own personal bias and feelings on these things. But you have to remove them. You have to remove them. And usually you can at least look with a lot of these at what historically has come into
voter trends.
Yes, but some of that stuff changes.
That's why these straw polls are very helpful. Now, the straw poll,
they are really
helpful.
I'm glad you circled back to that, because I think, you know, Tim Bontemps has been doing it in the NBA for a long time.
I made a Jokic bet 2 years ago based off that straw poll at like plus 120, plus 130 to win MVP. In like a week, he was like minus $2.
They're great. What I love about them, it doesn't just help us bettors. I love the idea of it forcing to make these voters think about it multiple times throughout the season.
I didn't think of it from that angle.
Because you can also wonder, I think a lot of times we wonder.
They just wake up.
How serious are these guys taking it? And I know we've got a lot. I know there's a lot of people, including myself, that had Victor Wembanyama tickets their defensive player of the year. One of the things that's killed me after the fact, Jared, it's the guys like Kendrick Perkins and stuff saying, we should rip away the award from Rudy Gobert. And I'm like,
what?
And you're like, the sample size, it pains me more for you to stand up there and say, I voted wrong after 10 games of the playoffs. Like, that is way worse than you screwing up the vote in the first place to me. Like, the fact that you can change your mind like that, and I know you're a voter. Like, just goes back to this is the difficulties of betting these markets.
You're not handicapping what you think the players should be. You're handicapping a voter and what they think. You have to take your brain out of your skull and try to insert it into another human's brain. It's very hard to do. It's impossible to do unless you're like some kind of weird mad scientist in Young Frankenstein. But that is the only way to accurately assess the probabilities of a specific player winning a specific award.
Conclusion? Ichiro, MVP and Rookie of the Year? We just got that tweet.
Thank you for that. Fred Lynn and Ichiro, the only two players that have won MVP and Rookie of the Year in the same season. It's not going to happen this year because I think Imanaga's going to fade. He's definitely not going to win Cy Young. I think Yamamoto, plus 650. If he pitches well in the Bronx tonight, shuts down that Yankees lineup, who might be without Juan Soto, by the way, I think his odds will shorten when we recircle on Monday. Great stuff by our guests, Lou Finocchiaro, Chris Felica, Kelly Bidlin booked it. Awesome stuff behind the scenes as well, behind the glass. This is a numbers game on VSiN. Have a great weekend, everyone.